الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، our previous class, we're reading about the issue al-Islam al-Sahih, the correct understanding of al-Islam, and that is ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه, that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions were upon, رضي الله عنهم. We have seen in our previous class a number of evidences clarifying that the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they will differ and divide after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They will differ and they will divide into different groups and different parties. And no doubt each one will claim that they are upon the truth, that they are upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet, he clarified this. Likewise, he clarified some of the reasons why they were different. From that is imitating and following the ways of the previous nations, particularly the Jews and the Christians, imitating the disbelievers in affairs that are specific to them, deviating and going astray, falling into innovations, falling into misguidance, falling into deviation, being engulfed in sin and negligence with regards to learning, seeking knowledge, and practicing the proper religion. But the clarification had come likewise that there will always remain one group that is steadfast, upright upon the truth. And they are those who are holding fast to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon, and likewise his companions, radiallahu anhum, in creed and in worship, in manners and conduct, in dealings and transaction, and in the methodology and the affairs of life. So this was our discussion, the clarification of those who are upright and steadfast, holding firmly to the true religion of Allah, the real Islam that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. It is that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum. So the issues that continue, and there are more evidences to discuss on this topic. So we continue reading, and we have the narration of Al-Irbad ibn Sariya. One, Al-Irbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu, annahu qal, salla bina Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhati yawm, thumma aqbala alayna fawa'adana maw'idatan bariga, ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب فقال قائل يا رسول الله كأن هذه موعظة مودع فماذا تعهد إلينا. It has been narrated by Al-Irbad ibn Sariya رضي الله عنه. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he led us in prayer one day, and then he turned to us and delivered a profound sermon that made our eyes shed tears and our hearts tremble. That made our eyes shed tears and our hearts tremble. And at this time, a man, he said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is though this is a farewell sermon. And it's as though you're giving us advice and admonishment, like we will not see you again. We're bidding farewell. So then what do you instruct us? What is it now that you order us in this time? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَدْ أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَإِنْ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا وَإِنْ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسِرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسِرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ الرَّاشِدِينَ تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ رواه أحمد وأبو داود واللفظ له والترمذي وابن ماجه والدارمي. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded and he said, I advise you to fear Allah I advise you to fear Allah and to listen and to obey the Muslim ruler, the authorities, even if a slave is appointed as your leader, that you must listen and obey. This is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to fear Allah, to have the taqwa of Allah azza wa jal, meaning to establish the obligations out of sincere faith and light upon knowledge, hoping for the reward of Allah, and to avoid and stay away from the prohibitions upon sincere light and knowledge out of reverence and fear of Allah, to establish the taqwa of Allah azza wa jal, and then specifically to listen and to obey the authorities, the Muslim ruler, even if it's a slave who's appointed as your leader. And at this time, the address is to the people of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions here specifically, and many of them are from Quraysh. And the best lineage, the most noble background. And he's mentioned that even if a slave from the lowest level of society were given authority over you and appointed as a leader, you must listen to him and obey him. And you listen to him and obey him in that which is considered lawful and permissible. Lawful and permissible. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified, this is from the point of our discussion. This is for the point of our discussion. For whoever among you lives long after me, he will see great differences. For whoever among you lives long after me, he will see great differences. So adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. Hold firmly to it and bite onto it with your motor teeth. Beware of newly invented matters, for every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. Reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and this is his wording, and Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah, and the Darimi. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prophesied this affair, and he clarified that it will not be long after his death that the people, they will see much differing in the ranks of the believers. And this occurred just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. So he's clarifying here sallallahu alayhi wasallam a great issue and problem that would occur, a great calamity that would befall the ummah, and that is that they would differ. And that differing will lead to division. And many times that differing and division leads to bloodshed and to quarreling and great chaos and turmoil in the ranks of the believers. And thus, this leads to weakening the ranks and the religion and the da'wah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning that there will be this great calamity coming. What is it? That there'll be much differing. Not just a little differing. Not just some differing. Ikhtilaf and kathira. They're going to find much different. Much different. But along with that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified the cure and the solution. How to handle this calamity and how to deal with this problem. How to handle this calamity and how to deal with this problem. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. So therefore you must hold fast to my sunnah and into my laws and legal ways and what I am upon and my methodology and my way on my path. And likewise the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. And it's established and well known that the rightly guided khulafa, there are four. We discussed them in our previous class. They are the leaders of the straight path, along with the prophets and messengers. And they are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. So here it's mentioned specifically to hold fast to the way of the Prophet and to their way. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's ordering to hold fast to his sunnah and to their sunnah. And then he says, تَمَسَّكُ بِهَا. You must hold fast to it. And those who have an understanding of the Arabic language, they will see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَمَسَّكُ بِهَا. And he did not say, تَمَسَّكُ بِهِمَا. Hold fast to it. He didn't say, hold fast to the two of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's considering here his sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa al-rashideen to be one. You understand that? تَمَسَّكُ بِهَا. Hold fast to it. And to the sunnah of the Prophet and the sunnah of the khulafa al-rashideen. Had they been separate things and completely different, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, تَمَسَّكُ بِهِمَا. Hold fast to the two of them. And to his sunnah and to their sunnah. But because their sunnah is his sunnah, and this is what we want to emphasize, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used the pronoun here in a singular form. تَمَسَّكُ بِهَا. Hold fast to it. And into his way and the way of the khulafa. his way and the way of the Khulafa. Because it is the Khulafa, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum, they're the most knowledgeable of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're most knowledgeable of the correct understanding and likewise the proper application and practice of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what they were upon is precisely and exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. So therefore, in order to hold fast to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must hold fast to their way. Because they're the witnesses and the narrators who has transmitted to us this affair. The Khulafa al-Rashidun, the four of them, they're the leaders and the best of the Sahaba. They're most virtuous in knowledge and in worship and devotion and servitude and obedience. The most virtuous even in lineage and the affairs of the worldly life. The Khulafa al-Rashidun, they're from the best of the people, from the most virtuous in their lineage, in their relationship and nearness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, they're from the most beloved of the people to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's been narrated from the hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu that he was on a journey with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came to him while they're on that journey and he said, "Man ahabbu nasi ilayka ya Rasulullah?" Who is the most beloved of the people to you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, "Aisha. Aisha is." And he's expecting to say amen. He's asking, who's the most beloved of the people to you, O Messenger of Allah? He's thinking, and Allah knows best to be amen. The Prophet responded, Aisha, radiallahu anha. So he says, min al-rijal, from the men. And who's the most beloved to you from the men? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Abuha, her father. And that's how much he loved Aisha, radiallahu anha. Who's the most beloved to Aisha? And then who? Her father. He didn't say Abu Bakr, even he ascribed him to her, her father. From the men, the most beloved people is Aisha, radiallahu anha. Then from the men, her father, who was Abu Bakr, radiallahu anha. Then he said, thumma men. And then who? O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, thumma Umar ibn al-Khattab. Then he said, Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, thumma men. And he said, thumma Uthman ibn Affan. So these are the most beloved of the people to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet is the first of the people from the men, the adult men, to aid and support the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The most beloved of the people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the daughter of Abu Bakr. And then Abu Bakr from the men. And Abu Bakr, he's the one who migrated with the Prophet and protected and was along with him in the cave. And he's the only one whom Allah had mentioned directly that he is from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. Huh? If you call li sahibihi idhuma fil ghar, whenever he said to his companion, whenever they're in the cave, la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. So Allah mentioned that Abu Bakr clearly is his companion in the book of Allah. This is a virtue that the others do not have, although they're all companions. But the companionship was mentioned directly for Abu Bakr in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is recited until the day of resurrection. Likewise, the innocence of Aisha as well, whenever they blamed her falsely, what the other bit of from the hypocrites and the likes, is also recited in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of this is to clarify the high status of these people, specifically the Khulafa Rashidun. So Abu Bakr, we see his status and his rank. And likewise, Umar as well, radiallahu anhu, after that, is the second from the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet married his daughter as well. Right? Hafsa bint Umar. He was married to his daughter. So the most beloved from the men is Abu Bakr, and he married his daughter, Aisha. And then after that is Umar, and he married his daughter likewise, Hafsa. And then Uthman, after that, radiallahu anhu, he has a nickname. What's his nickname? Dhu al-Nurayn, the possessor of two lights. What two lights did he have? What is this referring to? Dhu al-Nurayn, Uthman ibn Affan, Dhu al-Nurayn. Uthman ibn Affan, the holder of two lights. He had two lights. What were they? The two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was married to two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was married to one and then she passed. And then the Prophet, he married the other to him, radiallahu And who? And then she passed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Uthman, he said, if I had a third one, I would marry her to you likewise. If I had a third one, I would marry her to you likewise. So out of all of the people, the Prophet chose Uthman for his daughters, along with the fact that he's married to the daughter of Abu Bakr and the daughter of Umar radiallahu anhum jami'an. And we know the status of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the first of the boys before reaching the age of puberty to accept Islam. And he's clearly directly related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his status is high and lofty. So these are the Khulafa ar-Rashidun. And in this narration, we're ordered to hold fast to their sunnah. And this is because their sunnah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only are we ordered to hold fast to it, but to bite onto it with the molar teeth. And to bite onto it with the molar teeth. Like if somebody, if you're biting onto something, for example, if your front teeth, somebody might rip it out. And your teeth might go along with it. But if you're biting on with your back teeth, it's not going to get out. Right? You're going to hold on tightly. And you hold on for dear life. So this is how we should hold fast to their way. And you for dear life. And you do not let go for anything. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned from the affairs that would cause you to slip and to fall away and to be tried by those differing. To be tried by those trials and that differing. And he said, and I warn you from the newly introduced affairs in the religion. Because indeed, every newly introduced affair in the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. So remember the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions at the head of them, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum, that's called as Sirat al-Mustaqim. And this is a straight path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his pleasure, leads to the Jannah. And there are other paths that lead away. These paths are paths of deviation, paths of desires, paths of misguidance. And these are the ways that are contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. So if you want to be safe from differing, you must avoid these deviant ways. And we seen yesterday likewise that in these deviant ways, at the head of these ways is a devil calling to it. And he's decorating it. He's making it appear fair-seeming. He's making it appear good. He's making it appear something that's beneficial. Even sometimes making it appear like it's actually the sunnah. For those who do not have detailed knowledge, they'll be tried by that. And many times they will not realize until they have deviated and gone far away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this narration here is a tremendous narration. It's from the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. I need to emphasize the great benefit of this narration and how many rulings and other benefits have been derived. But we want to suffice now for our topic and our point. And that is that indeed the Prophet clarified sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again in another narration that there will be much different. And he clarified from the reasons of that differing here is that people will follow innovations and newly introduced affairs in the religion and aspects of deviation and misguidance and following whims and desires in the name of deen. In the name of deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified the solution and the cure for the problem, and that is to hold fast to his sunnah and to the sunnah of the Khulafa ar-Rashidin. So it would suffice just to say it. Tamassaku bi sunnati. Fa'alaykum bi sunnati. Tamassaku biha. You must hold fast to my sunnah. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized at the time of differing that you must hold fast to his sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa. So there's a reason here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the most eloquent in speech. And he's most sincere in giving advice. And he's the most clear and direct to the intent. So the mentioning of the sunnah of the Khulafa ar-Rashideen is of utmost importance to understand. It's not just mentioned here like that. And he didn't leave it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, this is the cure. This is the means. This is the way to identify and understand who is holding on to the true Islam. Whenever the people differ, whenever the Muslims differ, and this one says this, and that one says that, when they talk about the affairs of Iman, or they talk about the affairs of the unseen, or any issues related to the Aqidah and the Creed, this one he says that, and that one he says this, and this one he says that, how are we able to identify? How are we able to identify the one who is upon the true religion, the good Islam? Whenever we're talking about issues of Ibadah and the likes of this, how are we able to identify? How are we able to clarify? This one he's claiming Quran and Sunnah. This one he's saying you can do this and do that. This one is claiming Quran and Sunnah. This one is claiming you can do this and do that. This one is claiming Quran and Sunnah. He says Allah is everywhere. He says Allah is everywhere. And he used a verse from the book of Allah and the likes like this. This one is claiming Quran and Sunnah. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a spirit. And the likes like this. What do you have to be learned? They say this and they say that. And then they have another one. Another one is claiming Quran and Sunnah. He says Allah is above the throne, above the heavens in a manner befitting His majesty. So how are we able to identify who is true? How are we able to identify who is correct? By referring this affair back to the Quran and Sunnah and the understanding of the best of this Sunnah, of the best of this Ummah, the understanding of the Sahaba, the Khulafa al-Rashideen, what they were upon. This is the correct understanding, the way they understood. This is the correct application, the way they applied. So what is correct with regards to this example that we made here is that Allah, He's above the throne in the manner befitting His majesty, and He's not in the creation. He's separate from the creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, above the creation, high and lofty. And Allah, He said in His book, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Ashistawa. And Allah, He said in His book, Wa huwa al-Aliyu al-Kabir. Sabbih isma rabbika al-A'la, the Most High. So Allah, He's the Most High. He's above the throne in a manner befitting His majesty. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked that slave woman where Allah is, she said above the heavens. Above the heavens. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed that, pointing to the heavens, clarifying that she is correct, that she's a sincere believer because of her understanding that her Lord is above the heavens and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is her prophet. So the point is now to emphasize again that whenever there are these differings and these disputes and quarreling and the likes like this in the religion, the means to identify those who are upon the correct understanding and the proper path is to refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah based upon the understanding of the Sahaba. Because the Quran could be interpreted in more than one light. The Quran could be interpreted in more than one light. And likewise, sometimes the Sunnah as well could be interpreted in more than one light. The people of deviation, they seek to misinterpret these affairs and to confuse the people. But there are fundamental principles in dealing with the text and understanding them. And from them is that the text of the Quran and Sunnah must be understood in the light of the understanding of the Sahaba. So any understanding that's contradictory or contrary to their understanding is not correct. It's not correct. We understand this. This is very clear. Alhamdulillah. So there are more evidences to establish this, and we continue reading. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High, He says, قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. So in this noble verse, Allah the Most High, He says, say, O Muslims, and ordering the believers to say it with their tongues and to mean it in their hearts, to say that we believe in Allah and that which has been sent down to us. And that which has been sent down to us, and that which has been sent down to Ibrahim, and Ismail, and Ishaq, and Yaqub, and the Asbat. The Asbat, they are the offspring of the 12 sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. So we're ordered to follow the ways of the previous prophets and messengers, and that is the way about Islam. This is also what we had established in our previous class. So this is another verse here affirming that issue as well. Say, O believers, that we believe in Allah, and we believe in that which was revealed to us, and even by way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like we believe in that which was revealed to Ibrahim, and we believe in that which was revealed to Ismail, and to Ishaq, and to Yaqub, and to the tribes, the sons of Yaqub, alayhi salatu wa salam, and likewise we believe in that which was given to Musa, the Torah, and we believe in that which was given to Isa, the Injil, and we believe in that which was revealed to the prophets from their Lord, and we do not distinguish between any one of them, and we do not believe in some of them and disbelieve in others, rather we believe in all of them. Although some of them are more virtuous and better than others, all of them they are prophets and messengers, and we affirm that for all of them. And we are Muslims and surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah, He says after this, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. And if they believe in the likes of what you all believe in, then they will be guided. So here, at the time of revelation, who's being addressed? Directly. At the time of revelation, who is present being addressed with these affairs directly? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his noble companions, and then the disbelievers of Quraysh and the Arabs and the Arab tribes around them, specifically and indirectly, because they're the ones that aren't present at that time. They're the ones that aren't present at that time, and the message is for all of mankind, the Arab and the non-Arab. But at that time, those who are being addressed directly at that moment with the revelation is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and the tribe of the Prophet Quraysh, and the other Arab tribes likewise in the area and in those lands, they're being, and the people at that time are being addressed with it specifically, although the address is for all of mankind in general. So whenever we understand this specific address here, let's think about this, ponder and reflect. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. And so if they believe in the likes of what you all believe in, then they will be guided. So who are they and who are you all? Who are they and who are you all? You all are the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum. And they, the disbelievers from Quraysh and the other tribes of the Arab around them. So if they believe in the likes of what you believe, then they will be guided. You understand them? So Allah, He says again, say, O believers, that we believe in Allah and we believe in that which was revealed to us. And through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we believe in that which was revealed to Ibrahim and to Ismail and to Ishaq and to Yaqub and the Asbath. And we believe in that which was given to Musa. And we believe in that which was given to Isa. And we believe in that which was given to all of the prophets from their Lord. And we do not distinguish between any one of them. And we are Muslims to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims in submission and surrender to Allah azza wa jal. So therefore, if they believe in the likes of what you all believe in, then they will be guided. And if they believe, those Arab tribes from Quraysh and the others, and the likes specifically, and the rest of mankind in general, but even the likes of what you all believed in, O Prophet and your companions, then they will be guided. Then they will be guided. So therefore, in order to be guided, you must believe in the likes of what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in his companions. So here again, Allah, He did not say, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتَ بِهِ. What you believe, O Prophet, ma'amantum bihi, what you all believed in. He didn't say, subhanAllah, if they believe in the likes of what you believe, O Prophet. No, he said, in the likes of what you all believe in. And what you, O Prophet, believe in and your companions. You understand? So it's incumbent to believe in the manner the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in his companions. This is the point here. If they do that, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا, then they will be guided. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. And if they turn away, meaning if they refuse to believe in the likes of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions believed, then they are only in opposition. فَسَيَكْفِيكُهُمُ اللَّهُ. And Allah will suffice you from them. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. The religion of Allah, and who is better in religion than Allah. And we are worshipped sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we compare this verse here now to the previous narration that we had taken in our last class, which was with regards to iftiraq al-umam, that the nations, they will split and they will divide. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified that his ummah will divide into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except for one. And then he was asked, who are they? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. And then in some wordings likewise, man kana ala mithli ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. Those who are upon the likes of what I'm upon today and my companions. If we compare that to this verse here, if they believe in the likes of what you all believe in, then they will be guided. They have the same exact meaning. They have the same exact understanding. If they believe in the likes of what you all believed, then they will be guided. Who is the safe sect, the one that's safe from the fire, destruction, misguidance? Those were upon the likes of what the Prophet is upon and his companions. So that narration is clarifying and supporting what is found in the verse. That in order to be guided away from deviation, away from misguidance, away from the path that leads to destruction and the hellfire, the way to be guided to the straight path, to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that you must believe in that which the Prophet was upon and his companions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. Again, can it be conceived? Can it be perceived? Can it be even thought in the sound mind that there's something from the religion that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon, and it's narrated to us from somebody who never met him or somebody who never seen him? Is it possible? So therefore, it had to be narrated from somebody who met him and saw him. And if that's the case, they must be reliable. Therefore, those whom we accept their reports about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are those who met him and saw him and believed in him and died upon Islam. Those who met him and saw him and believed in him and died upon Islam. And they are known as as-Sahaba. They're known as Sahaba. So everything about the religion that did not come from the Sahaba cannot be from the religion. Anything that's ascribed to the religion, but it was not transmitted through the Sahaba, it cannot truly be from the religion. Is it possible? It's not transmitted from the Sahaba. The Sahaba didn't see him do it. Who saw him pray? The Sahaba. So if there's something about praying that the Sahaba didn't narrate, it can't be from the religion. Who saw him make wudu? The Sahaba. So if there's something about wudu that the Sahaba didn't narrate to us, it can't be from wudu. It's not possible. If there are rights here and rights there and the likes like this, from the religion, from the creed, from the belief that was not transmitted or narrated to us from the Sahaba, it can't be from the deen. Because they're the ones who witnessed this affair. They're the ones who met and saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the ones who learned and heard from him. And they're the ones who implemented that. They're the ones who applied that. There are witnesses of the Allahu anhum. That's why the greatest enemies of al-Islam, they know they're not able to directly censor or speak ill of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because no one would accept that from him. So what do? They try to take out the witnesses and they speak ill about the Sahaba. They speak ill about the Sahaba. So those who speak ill about the Sahaba, in reality, they're trying to do away with Islam. Because if you do away with the Sahaba, you can say about Islam whatever you want. You understand that? You understand that? So this is why we find the worst of the people speaking ill about the Sahaba. And the worst of them speak ill about the best of them. وَلِيَهَدِ بِاللَّهِ Abu Bakr and Umar. You understand that? And the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, while they claim that they love the family and the household of the Prophet, and they're liars. And they're liars. So the point is now that the religion about Islam, the correct understanding of the deen, is that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and his noble companions radiallahu anhum. These evidences here, they affirm that and establish that. It's amazing. Likewise, after this, the last verse here, and then Allah, he says, Sibghatallah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ Sibghatallah, a sibgha is from the word as-sabgha. As-sabgha is to dye something. It's to dye something. Like, for example, the men, when they get old, they dye their beards, right? The men, when they get old and they get red, white beards, what do? They dye it. That's called sabr. That's called sabr. And also, for example, if you have a garment, a thobe, and you want to change the color, what do? You take dye and you dip it in, right? But what happens if whenever you dip it in, you just dip it in a little bit and you pull it out? How does the garment come? Huh? It's all splotchy and it's like different colors and... Or the fade, the dye is weak and strong in one part and weak in another part, and it looks like this. Maybe there's like crinkly lines, so on and so forth. But if you dip it all the way in and you let the dye take hold and then you pull it out, what happens? The entire garment has changed. The entire garment has changed 100%. This is the example of the deen. Whenever you embrace it wholeheartedly and you enter into it in entirety, it will change your life. It will change your life. You understand? Sibghat Allah, the deen of Allah. The sibgha is referring to the deen. But it's using this term here, sibgha, which is from the term which initially means to dye something. And that is because a person, whenever he enters entirely and wholeheartedly into the religion, it will encompass him in entirety. And it will change him and he'll be a new person. It will change him and he'll be a new person. When is that? Whenever he enters all the way into Islam. This is why Allah, he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kafa, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Oh, you who believe, enter into al-Islam in entirety. And do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Enter into al-Islam in entirety. Do not follow the footsteps of the devil. The footsteps of the devil are the ways that lead away from the straight path. At the head of them, the innovations and the newly introduced affairs in the religion that are contrary to the way of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, because that is contrary to the way of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is contrary to al-Islam. So now you have deficiency. So you have to let go of these things. Leave these things and avoid these things, along with sins and everything else that is contrary to al-Islam. And then embrace al-Islam in entirety. Hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rightly guided khulafa after him, radiallahu anhum, and then you will see a change in your life. And then you will see a change in your life. Things will become better. Your life will be good by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to enter into Islam in entirety and avoid following the footsteps of the devil. And avoid following the footsteps of the devil. The footsteps of the devil, there are those paths that lead away from the straight path. The straight path. The straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the path of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his two companions after him, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma specifically, and likewise the rest of the Khulafa, Uthman and Ali, and the rest of the Sahaba, all of them all together, at the head of those on that path. And along with the previous prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu wassalam. So these texts and evidences here, they're emphasizing our point and clarifying the intent. To continue, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يُشَاقِكِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. It's a great warning here. And I truly hope that we benefit from this. And I am making my best effort, wallahi, to make it clear for anyone who hears this lecture that the proper understanding is just like in the title of our discussion. Al-Islamu sahih huwa ma kana alayhi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabuhu. The correct Islam is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his companions were upon. I hope you understand. May Allah guide your hearts and bless you. But now, if you do understand, that means that the guidance has been made clear to you. So now you must make a decision in your life. Are you going to follow that guidance? Or are you going to follow your desires? So this verse here is clarifying that you must be cautious not to follow your desires, especially after the guidance has been made clear. Because if you follow your desires after the guidance has been made clear, there's a great threat for this person that he'll be left to his whims. And he will follow his desire until he dies in that manner. And he will go to the hellfire where he has been in the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah, he mentions in this noble verse, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِكِ الرَّسُولِ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. And whoever contradicts and opposes the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the right path has been shown clearly to him, number one, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he follows away other than the believers. At the time of revelation, who are the believers? The Sahaba. So at the head of the believers, the Sahaba. Whoever opposes the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the guidance is clear, and follows away other than the way of the believers, meaning other than the way of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. We'll leave him to what he has chosen. And if from ways contrary, from opposing the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and following away other than the believers, other than the Sahaba, we'll leave him to what he has chosen, we'll leave him to his Sufiyah, we'll leave him to his Bid'ah, we'll leave him to his Khariji way, we'll leave him to his Jihadi way, we'll leave him to his Tariqah, we'll leave him to his misguided path, we'll leave him to his whims and desires, we'll leave him to his lusts and his pleasures, and we will land him in the hellfire. And what an evil destination that is. What an evil destination that is. So here we see, تَنَبَّهُنَا رَعَقَ اللَّهُ إلى ثلاثة أمور. Let us pay attention here. May Allah protect you to three matters. You must pay attention here to three affairs. The first one, متابعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, following the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. The second one, التمسك بالهدى الذي هو القرآن الكريم. Holding fast, adhering to the guidance, which here what is intended is the noble Quran. And number three, اتباع سبيل المؤمنين, following the way of the believers. وعلى رأسهم الصحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم جميعا. And at the head of them, the noble companions رضي الله عنهم. So these three points here, they're clarifying and shown great importance in this noble verse. We want to find them. The first one is following the messenger. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ. And whoever opposes the messenger, there's a threat. Whoever opposes the messenger. So what does that mean? You should never oppose him, rather you should follow him. You don't oppose him, rather you must follow him. If you hope to be safe from desires and whims and being cast into the hellfire, which is the worst of destinations, then you must not oppose the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather you must follow him. So it's understood the opposite. So the opposite is understood. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ. Then do not do that. Rather, اتَّبِعْ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Rather follow him, obey him, comply to his commandment, avoid and stay away from his prohibition. But even what he mentioned, worship Allah in his way, no other way. صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is number one. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. After the guidance is made clear for him. The guidance is one in the Quran. Allah, he mentioned about the Quran, هذا هدى. هذا هدى. What did Allah say in the first verse of in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah? ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. The Quran is guidance. After the guidance, after the Quran has been clarified for him, especially the verse that we just read, right? فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. And if they believe in the likes of what you all believe, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your companions, then they will be guided. So therefore you must follow the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially after the guidance of the Quran has been clarified. So you must hold fast to the guidance of the Quran, not to the guidance of the deviant sects. You must follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and hold fast to the guidance of the Quran. And then there's one third important point mentioned along with this, and that is following the way of the believers. وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And he followed the way other than the believers. What's the result? نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. So those who oppose the messenger and do not follow him, and those who do not hold fast to the guidance of the Quran, they follow somebody else's guidance another way, and those who do not follow the way of the Sahaba, the true believers, then they are threatened with being burned in the fire, and such an evil destination that is. So it's understood to be safe from the punishment of the fire, a person, he must follow the messenger and not oppose him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He must hold fast to the guidance of the Quran and not follow any other way. And likewise, he must follow the way of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, the way of the believers. So again, here likewise, just as we have seen in the previous narration, it would suffice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُدَى نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. Whoever opposes the messenger after the guidance is made clear will leave into what he has chosen. Will leave into what he has chosen. The threat is established, right? Do not oppose the messenger. But along with that, in this noble verse, Allah, he didn't just suffice with opposing the messenger and not following the guidance of the Quran. He mentioned along with that, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ. And he follows the way other than the way of the believers. This is indicating that following the way of the believers is important. Just like his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated whenever he said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. Hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of my khulafa. So that means that the sunnah of the khulafa, the sunnah of the khulafa is important. It's mentioned specifically along with the sunnah of the Prophet. And also the way of the believers is important. It's mentioned, do not oppose the Prophet nor the way of the believers. That's because the way of the believers is the way of the Prophet. And you will never know the way of the Prophet until you know the way of the believers. Because the believers, that's the one who transmitted what the Prophet was upon. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the believers at the time of the revelation of this verse were none other than the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. At the head of them, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. Do you understand that? So these are from the clear verses mentioning the obligation of following the Salaf. We say the Salaf, what we're talking about? Following the Sahaba. Following the Sahaba specifically, and their students. So we read, في هذه الآية الكريمة تحذير من مخالفة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم واتباع غير سبيل المؤمنين واتباع غير سبيل الصحابة وبيان لسوء عاقبة من يفعل ذلك. In this noble verse, there's a warning for opposing the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and following a way other than the companions, and a clarification of the foul outcome for those who do so. There's a threat and a warning for opposing the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abandoning the guidance of the Quran, and following a way other than the Sahaba. There's a threat. There's a warning. A warning for what? Punishment in the hellfire for this affair. This is clear? Punishment in the hellfire for what? Opposing the messenger, abandoning the guidance of the Quran, and not following the way of the Sahaba. So, to be safe from that threat and warning, you must follow the way of the Sahaba, hold fast to the guidance of the Quran, and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and not oppose him. These things, they go hand in hand. So you cannot follow the guidance of the Quran except if you obey the Messenger, right? And you can't obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam except if you follow the way of the Sahaba. And if you follow the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then you'll be following the guidance of the Quran. And if following the guidance of the Quran, you'll be holding fast to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as soon as you disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are falling away other than the believers, and you have opposed the guidance of the Quran. And as soon as you fall away other than the believers, then you have opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have abandoned the guidance of the Quran. It's hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. So therefore, the religion of Islam is that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and his companions. And nothing else. We have another verse. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى And Allah the Most High, He said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رضي الله عنهم رضوا عنه ووعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. And Allah the Most High, He says, and the first and foremost to embrace Islam of the Muhajireen and the Ansar, and those who have followed them exactly in faith, Allah is well pleased with them as they are pleased with Him, and He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow, and paradise to dwell therein forever, and that is the supreme success. So Allah is praising here three categories of people: As-Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, the first and foremost, the vanguard of this Ummah. Min al-Muhajireen wa al-Ansar, the Muhajirun, they are those believers from Mecca who accepted Islam in the beginning, and they were persecuted in Mecca along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they migrated from Mecca to Al-Medina. And the Ansar, there are those believers who believed later from the people of Medina, who aided and supported the people of Mecca, the original believers, whenever they migrated to them. These are the two best categories. These are two the best categories of people, the best of the companions, the Muhajirun and the Ansar. We understand that. So Allah is praising them. These are two categories of people. وَالَذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ And those who follow them precisely. What is the reward, or what is the recompense for them? Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with them. So can you be from the Muhajirun? Can you be from the Ansab? No, we cannot be from them. So there's only one other choice that you can be if you hope to have the pleasure of Allah. What is that? To be from those who follow them precisely. Who follow them exactly. You understand that? As-Sabiqoon, the first and foremost, from the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and those who follow them precisely, Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Him. Allah has prepared paradise for them, for these people. So it's not possible for us to be from the Muhajirun. They're people who have passed, radiallahu anhum. It's not possible for us to be from the Ansar. They're people who have passed, radiallahu anhum. So if we hope to have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Jannah, and to be safe from the Nar, we must be from those who follow them. Bi ihsan, ay bi sidqi wal itqan, yani truthfully. And precisely, not in the amount that they believed, but in the way they believed. Not in the amount that, we can't reach the level of Iman of Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhum. They have a high status beyond us. We can't reach the level of Iman of any one of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. But we must believe in the way they believed, in the manner, the methodology. We must follow their path in Iman, in understanding the Quran, and applying and practicing Islam, their religion, their understanding is the good understanding. That's why Allah has mentioned that those whom He's pleased with and who will enter paradise are three categories, and two-thirds of them are the Sahaba. You understand that? Two-thirds of them are Sahaba. So no one can ever have the pleasure of Allah or be safe from the fire and admitted into paradise now after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the conveyance of the Sahaba, except if they followed the Sahaba exactly. You understand? Because it's the Sahaba exactly, particularly the Muhajirun and the Ansar, who followed the Prophet exactly sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afa alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati khulafa ar-rashidin." That's why Allah, He said, "Fa'in amanu bi mithli ma amantum bihi." That's why the Prophet, that's why Allah, He says, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You have to follow the way of the Sahaba. You have to follow the way of the Sahaba if you hope to be successful, if you hope to have the promise of Allah. So now we read, فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ بَيَانٌ لِلْفَوْزِ الْعَظِيمِ وَالْآقِبَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَالْخَاتِمَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ لِمَنْ اتَّبَعَ الصَّحَابَةَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِإِخْلَاصٍ وَالصِّدْقِ وَهُوَ أَنَّهُمْ يُدْخَلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَيَنَالُونَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. In this noble verse, there's a clarification of the great success, good outcome, and noble ending of those who follow the companions in faith sincerely. And that is that they will be admitted into paradise and obtain the pleasure of Allah the Most High. Compare these two verses together and the outcome of these two verses. The first verse that we just discussed is a great warning and a threat for those who oppose the Sahaba that they will be burned in the fire. The verse that we're discussing now is a great promise of mercy and paradise and the pleasure of Allah for those who follow the Sahaba sincerely and truthfully. You understand? So we have a Nar and we have a Jannah. Who is the Nar for? For those who oppose the way of the Sahaba. Who is the Jannah for? For those who take the Sahaba as role models and follow them precisely. You understand? Because there's no way to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the guidance of the Quran except by following the Sahaba. Except by following the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So we continue reading. عن عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله من طريق مالك قال سن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولاته الأمر من بعده سننا الأخذ بها تصديق لكتاب الله واستكمال لطاعة الله وقوة على دين الله ليس لأحد تغييرها ولا تبديلها ولا النظر فيما خالفها من اقتدى بها مهتد ومن استنصر بها منصور ومن خالفها اتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين وولاه الله ما تولى وصلاه جهنم وساءت مسيرا. So we have a narration from Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahimahullah, from the great scholars of hadith and the noble virtuous khulafa of Bani Umayyah. He died in year 101. He says, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the leaders of the Muslims after him established the sunnah. Adhering to them is a confirmation of the book of Allah and completion of obedience to Allah and strength upon the religion of Allah. No one has the right to change them, nor to alter them, nor to look into what contradicts them. Whoever follows them is rightly guided, and whoever seeks aid through establishing them will be granted victory. Whoever opposes them follows a path other than that of the believers, and Allah will entrust them to what He has chosen. He will cast them into the hellfire, and what an evil destination that is. This is reported by Ibn Abi Hatim in his tafsir. So again, he's emphasizing here, the messenger of Allah and the leaders of the Muslims after him. وَوُلَاتُ أُمُورِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ يعني الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّشِدِينَ. Establish the sunnah. Holding fast to them is confirmation of the book and completion of obedience to Allah and strength upon the deen of Allah. No one has the right to change them in the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his khulafa, nor to alter them, nor to look into anything that contradicts them. Whoever follows them is rightly guided, and whoever seeks aid through establishing them will be granted victory. And whoever opposes them follows a path other than that of the believers, and Allah will entrust him to what He has chosen. He will land him in the hellfire. He will cast him in the hellfire. What an evil destination that is. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Here we have to add Allahu Ta'ala. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And Allah the Most High, He said, and follow the path of him who turns to me in repentance and in obedience. And Allah, He ordered here for the believers to follow the ways of those who repent to him in obedience and submission. Qala ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in the interpretation of this verse, what does that mean? What tabi' sabira man anaba ilayya, and follow the way of those who turn to me in repentance and in submission and obedience. Ibn Qayyim, he says rahimahullah, wa kullun min as-sahaba munibun ila Allah fi yajibu ittiba'u sabilihi وأقواله واعتقاداته من أكبر سبيله. Ibn Qayyim, he says, may Allah have mercy on him, all of the companions are those who turn to Allah in repentance. Therefore, it is obligatory to follow their way. Their statements and beliefs are among the greatest aspects of their way. And their statements and beliefs are among the greatest aspects of their way. والدليل على أنهم منيبون إلى الله سبحانه أن الله سبحانه قد هداهم وقد قال ويهدي إليه من ينيب. And the evidence that they are among those who turn to Allah is that Allah has guided them. And he says, and he guides to himself those who turn to him in repentance. So the Sahaba, they are those who Allah has guided. And they are those who have turned to Allah in repentance. And Allah is ordering us in this verse to follow the path of those who turn to Allah in repentance. So Ibn Qayyim has derived from this that Allah is ordering us to follow the way of the Sahaba. And at the head of the way of the Sahaba is what they were upon from their statements and their creed and their belief. Following them in that specifically, رضي الله عنهم. وقال عبد الله بن مسعود اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا فقد كفيتم وكونوا بدعة ضلالة. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he said, follow and do not innovate, for you have been sufficed, and every innovation is misguidance. وقال إنا نقتدي ولا نبتدي ونتبع ولا نبتدع ولا نضل ما تمسكنا بالأثر. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, we imitate and do not initiate. We imitate any of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. We do not initiate. We don't bring something new. We follow and we do not innovate. And we will not go astray as long as we adhere to the narrations. As long as we adhere to the narrations. I mean, these narrations here, they have great benefit. But now we just want to read them. Inshallah, you will see some of that benefit yourself directly without any commentary. وَقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ النَّخَعِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. He died in the year 96. لَوْ بَلَغَنِي أَنْهُمْ يعني الصحابة أَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يُجَاوِزُوا بالوضوء ظفرا ما جاوزته به وكفى على قوم وزرا أن تخالف أعمالهم أعمال أصحاب نبيهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ibrahim al-Nakhai, he's from the great students of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said, if I had learned that they, referring to the companions, did not go beyond a fingernail in performing ablution. And he meaning that the if I learned that the companions, they only wash their fingernails in ablution, I would not wash anything else. He said, I would not have exceeded it either. It is enough of a burden upon a people that their actions differ from the actions of the companions of their prophet. And who? Why do we make wudu the way we make wudu? Huh? Because Allah, he mentioned in ayatul wudu. Who knows that ayat? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. This is Ayatul Wudu. This is revealed in the Book of Allah. Who's the one who has informed us of that? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who's the one who clarified that in application and in speech and deed? How to make the wudu as according to the verse? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who transmitted that? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So who knows how to make wudu right? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So therefore, he's saying, rahimahullah, if I knew that the Sahaba didn't go beyond their fingernails in making wudu, I would not go beyond it. And I would only wash what they wash. Because they're the ones who witnessed the Prophet, who told us that Allah, he revealed the verse. And the clarification of the obligation of wudu. And you cannot pray without it. And this is the way to make it. You understand? So therefore, we make wudu like this because this is what has been narrated to us from our Prophet by way of his companions, radiallahu anhum. So they're the ones who mentioned this affair. Qala wa qala al-Sha'bi, rahimahullah, ma haddathuka bihi an ashabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fakhudhu, wa ma haddathuka bihi an ra'yihim fanbidhu fil hush. Al-Sha'bi, from the scholars of the Tabi'in, from the students of the Sahaba, what is he advising the people after him? What they narrate to you from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you take it. And what they narrate to you from their own opinions, and you throw it in the garbage. You throw it in the garbage. If the people that narrate to you something from the companions about the deen, you accept it. If they narrate to you something from their opinions, contrary from what the companions were upon, what do you do with it? You throw it in the garbage. You disregard it. And one word he said, فَبُلْ عَلَيْهِ فَبُلْ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا حَدَّثُكُ وَمَا حَدَّثُكَ عَنْ رَأْيِهِ فَبُلْ عَلَيْهِ. And this one you have to translate yourself. وَقَالَ عَلَيْكَ بِهِ. Or you can have the brother. No. Yeah. Okay, so just pass urine on it. And that's what he's saying, eh? You got it? what they narrate to you from their opinions and their ideas and what they think, contrary to the way this will happen, and just yani do that. قال الأوزاعي رحمه الله اصبر نفسك على السنة وقف حيث وقف القوم وقول بما قالوا وكف عما كفوا عنه واسلك سبيل سلفك الصالح فإنه يسعك ما وسعهم. الأوزاعي رحمه الله, from the great scholars of the أتباع التابعين, he died in the year 156. He said, be patient with the Sunnah. Stop where the people stopped, and it's Sahaba, and say what they said, and refrain from what they refrained from. Don't talk about what they didn't delve into, and follow the path of your pious predecessors, for what sufficed them will suffice you. وقال رحمه الله عليك بإثار من سلف وإن رفضك الناس وإياك وأراء الرجال وإن زخرفوها لك بالقول. And he said, رحمه الله, adhere to the narrations of those who have passed, and the Sahaba, even if the people reject you, they don't like you anymore. Beware of the opinions of men, even if they beautify them for you with their words. وقال الله تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. And Allah the Most High, He said, this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you al-Islam as your religion and way of life. قال الإمام مالك بن أنس رحمه الله تعالى, the great Imam, الإمام مالك, he said, من أحدث في هذه الأمة شيئا لم يكن عليه سلفنا فقد زعم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خان الرسالة لأن الله يقول اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم فما لم يكن يومئذ دينا لا يكون اليوم دينا. الإمام مالك, he said, may Allah have mercy on him, whoever introduces into this ummah something that was not practiced by the Salaf, and by the Sahaba, has claimed that the Messenger of Allah has betrayed the message. He's claiming that the Messenger of Allah betrayed the message. They're practicing something that the Sahaba didn't transmit, meaning that the Prophet was hiding something and didn't tell us about it. They found out about it later. That's what they're claiming. No doubt that's a great lie and a foul claim. And this is because Allah, He says, this day I have perfected for you your religion. Listen to His statement, rahimahullah ta'ala, and we close with this. Therefore, whatever was not part of the religion on that day cannot be part of the religion today. Whatever was not part of the religion on the day whenever Allah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, today I have completed your religion for you, it cannot be the religion today. If the religion was completed on that day, that means that anything that is added or subtracted from what was completed on that day is not from al-Islam. It's not from al-Islam, and it cannot possibly be from al-Islam. How could it be from al-Islam when it's contrary to what was completed on that day? Who witnessed that day and transmitted to us the religion that was completed on that day? As-Sahaba radiyallahu anhu. Therefore, we see it's very clear. May Allah bless you and increase you in good and grant you an understanding in His religion, a proper and good understanding of this deen, that al-Islam, al-Sahih, the correct Islam, wa makana alayhi al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabuhu, is that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions radiyallahu anhum. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.